Well, my name is Nancy Cunningham, and it's a pleasure for me to be here tonight. You all have made us feel very welcome, and I know that I speak for myself and the rest of the team. It's a joy and a privilege to be able to share the love of Christ with you here tonight. And I just want to say to you that I have absolutely nothing to say to you apart from the Spirit of God. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you tonight that you have sent your one and only Son to this world to die on the cross for sinners. We thank you, Father, that the love of God reaches and permeates into each and every one of our souls and our lives, and that you are reaching out to us and welcoming us to come to you each and every day. Father, we pray that we would humble ourselves at your feet now and that your Spirit would teach us, lay aside every hindrance, lay aside every distraction, so that we can concentrate on the things that you have to teach us tonight. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The very last day that Jesus Christ spent on this earth is recorded for us in John chapter 19. You know the story. You don't have to turn there, but you know the story about how he was betrayed, how he was arrested, how he was beaten by the soldiers with big, strong arms in his face until his face was not even recognizable anymore. He was scourged with a whip over and over again until his back was bloody and raw. He was mocked. He was stripped. He was made to carry his own cross a long distance to a hill called Golgotha. And then they took the hammer and they took the nails and they nailed the Son of God to a cross and they stood him up on that cross for all of Jerusalem to see. In the midst of this very horrific suffering that the Son of God went through, he looked down at the foot of the cross and he saw his mama. And he didn't think about what he was going through. He thought about that woman. And he said, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple John, "Son, behold your mother." Because he knew that he was leaving this earth and he would not return as her son again. And he knew that she needed some comfort, she needed some care, and she needed some friendship. That was the love that Jesus Christ had for his mama. But it's the same love that he has for every single one of us gathered here in this room. Because after that happened, Jesus Christ continued to hang on the cross. And for 3 hours in the middle of the day, darkness fell upon the whole face of the earth. Because during that time, Jesus was paying for your sin and for my sin. And who was he thinking of then? He was thinking of us. Every single one of us. And you know what, ladies? If I was the only one that ever would have believed in him, he still would have gone through that suffering for me. And if you were the only one that ever would have believed in him, he would have gone through that suffering for you. That's the love of Jesus Christ for us. It's an amazing love. This afternoon we had some great testimonies from Carrie John sitting back there and from Keithian. They spent time in prison and the love of Christ reached them in prison and now they are walking with the Lord and they are disciples and God has given them a ministry. I have never been in prison. I'm not going to give my testimony tonight, but I'm going to share the testimony of a woman who lived 2,000 years ago and she was a prisoner of sin. She was a prisoner of her own making, but she also found deliverance in Jesus Christ, and she ended up being one of his greatest disciples. And her story begins for us tonight in Luke chapter 7. If you have a Bible, open to that passage. If you don't have a Bible, sit next to someone who does.
We have a Bible.
Luke chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 36. As you're turning to this passage, let me just give you a little background. You can pass out Bibles and find your way while I just tell you this. But Jesus Christ had begun his earthly ministry, and he was starting to perform miracles, and people, the rumor was spreading about who this man might be. He had raised someone from the dead. He had done all sorts of wonderful miracles and was showing himself to be the Son of God. And then in verse 36, let's just start with Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 39. This is going to show us that the love of Christ embraces anyone who will come to him. The love of Christ embraces anyone who will come to him. Verse 36, one of the Pharisees was requesting him, Jesus, to dine with him. And Jesus entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Now let me tell you a little something about this woman. She is not named in this passage, but in John chapter 11 we find out that her name is Mary, and she lived in a village called Bethany. So we will call her Mary of Bethany. And what do we find out about her? She is a terrible sinner. She was a harlot or a whore, a prostitute. And in any day and age, that is what society would look on as a terrible sinner, but especially in the day of Christ. And yet she has the humility and the hunger of heart and the desperation to go into this Pharisee's home because she wants to see Jesus. And what does she do for him? She brings an alabaster vial of perfume. And in verse 38, she's standing behind him at his feet. Weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Where is Mary? She's at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. And every time we see her in Scripture, four times, every time she is at the feet of Jesus. And what we want you to get from this lesson tonight and from the next class and from some things that my husband's going to share with you tomorrow is the feet of Jesus is the best place to live your life. Amen. And anybody can go there. It doesn't matter where you live or what you've done or who you are, where you've been or where you've headed. You can live your life at the feet of Jesus Christ. And that's what this woman teaches us. That's what she did with great humility, with great desperation, knowing that she was a sinner, knowing that she had no escape from her sin other than through the person of Jesus Christ. She went to his feet. In verse 39, there is somebody else in the room. She has entered into someone else's house. And in verse 39, the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, and he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of a person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Now, Jesus Christ knew exactly who Mary was. And the problem with the Pharisee is he is also a sinner. What is he doing in this passage? He's judging. What do we call judging? We call it sin. Yeah. Now, he came in. He was a respectable man. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He followed the laws. He knew the rules. He kept them to the nth degree. But his heart was rotten to the core, and he wouldn't admit it. Mary, on the other hand, knew she was a sinner. She knew she needed a Savior. She knew that there was nothing in herself that she had to offer from God. She knew that her sin separated her from God. Who is in a better place?
She is.
Mary is in a far better place than the Pharisee. Why? Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And the outward appearance of the Pharisee was doing fine. He was just right up there with the rest of the Pharisees, patting each other on the back. But God looks at the heart, and he knew Mary's heart, that she had come to him for forgiveness and for love, and he welcomed that love. So Jesus knows what the Pharisee is thinking. Remember, the Pharisee didn't speak out loud, but Jesus knows what he is thinking. Another indication to us that he is God. He is the Son of God. And so in verse 40, Jesus begins to have a conversation with the Pharisee. Look at these verses with me. Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Now, Simon judged the woman incorrectly, but when Christ gives this parable, this story, this Simon is brought to his senses, so to speak, and he realizes that the one who has been forgiven more is the one who loves more. And so then Jesus turns to the woman, and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman, this prostitute, this whore that has come into his house? Do you see her? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Ladies, the Word of God talks about our hair as our glory. And Mary took the very glory that God had given to her, and used that glory to wipe the Lord's feet. This was a custom. When someone came into your home as a guest, you should wash their feet, you should kiss them, and you should anoint their head with oil. Mary is the one that did these acts of kindness, not the Pharisee. So he says, she entered my house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. And here again we see the beauty of what Mary of Bethany did to the Lord. Three things she did to his feet. You see her humility and her desperation to come before the Son of God very humbly in great need and to do what she could to say to him, I need your love and I need your forgiveness. So in verse 47, Jesus says, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. When we understand how much Christ loves us, that's the only time that we are free to love other people. We cannot love others of ourselves, but when we look at what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, it's like we reach out to that cross and he pours out to us his love. And that love comforts us, and that love heals us, and that love strengthens us, and that love gives us a reason for getting up every morning. It gives us a reason for going through the day. It gives us a reason to raise our kids and to look to the future. But that love should not be held for ourselves. We have another hand, and with that other hand, we should reach out with the love of Christ to other people. If you don't reach this hand out and receive it from God, how are you going to reach out this hand and give it to somebody else? You have to be a channel, and the channel starts at the throne of God, and it starts at the cross of Jesus Christ. Now let's finish up this story and see what Jesus said to her. Verse 48. Jesus said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Ladies, it is the love of Jesus Christ that forgives and heals a broken heart. He said to her, your sins have been forgiven. What a wonderful thing for a woman who is caught in a prison of sin, a woman who is an adulterer, a whore, a prostitute, a woman of the street, for her to know that her sins are forgiven. The chains are set free. We just sang about it. It didn't matter what she had done because now she was free because her sins were forgiven her. We all are sinners. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died on the cross for our sins. Some of you know the gospel. Has it set your heart free? We all were a prisoner of sin before we came to him to have our sins forgiven. But there may be some of you here who have not yet been delivered from that prison of sin. And my heart goes out to you, because the greatest freedom that the world has to offer is here for you in the pages of Scripture through the cross and the love of Jesus Christ. And if you don't yet know him as your Savior, don't leave this room tonight without making that decision. What decision? Believe in who he is. God so loved the world that he gave his very only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a free gift of God. If I come to you and I say, I have a gift for you, would you like this? What does she have to do? To reach out and take it. She just receives it. And Jesus Christ says, I love you and I died on the cross for your sins. Will you just receive this free gift? And all we have to do is believe and reach out and take it. You know, there's a question in verse 49 that I love. Look at verse 49. There were others in the Pharisee's house that were reclining around the table. They were having a meal with Jesus and the Pharisee while the woman came in and humbled herself at the feet of Jesus. And they get to talking. Little whispers. They're looking around at what's happening, this strange thing that's happening in the Pharisee's house. They probably can't wait to go out in the street and tell the rumor, pass it around. But what do they say in verse 49? Who is this man who forgives sin? Do you know who this man is? I do. When I was 17 years old, I met this man over here, and he shared with me the greatest news I've ever heard, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've been following him around the world ever since. He is a wonderful man, and I can never repay what he did for me in sharing the gospel with me. But Jesus Christ is the greater, and he knows that. We all know that. Who is this man that forgives sin? He's my Savior. Do you know him? He's my friend. Do you know him? He's the Son of God. He's the most beautiful creature that ever lived. He's somebody who would humble himself, leave the glories of heaven to come to this earth because he loved you and me. That's who this man is. Mary's the only one in the room that knew. But she knew. And she took that knowledge to her heart, and she let it change her life. And so Jesus says to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. We are not saved by going to church. We are not saved by giving money. We are not saved by doing certain things. It is faith and faith alone that saves us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is the good news of Mary of Bethany's life. Now I want to talk to you a little bit further about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we misunderstand forgiveness. And sometimes because we misunderstand forgiveness, we are unwilling to forgive other people. Mary had, when she came into this room, a broken heart. And she needed her heart to be healed. She knew that Jesus Christ was the only one that can do it. And healing cannot start without forgiveness. Healing cannot start without receiving forgiveness. But healing can also not start without giving forgiveness to others. And this is what we're called on to do. Hold your place in Luke 7 and just turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at the last two verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted. You read the rest of the verse with me. Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers to each one of us. We need to look at the way he forgives, and we need to be willing to forgive others with a like forgiveness. Now, we are not the Son of God. The Son of God, in that sense, is the only one, as a perfect and righteous and just God, can truly forgive sin. But on a relationship with one another, we need to be willing to extend that forgiveness to other people. Let's talk about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I already quoted Ephesians 1, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And what this teaches us, ladies, is that the forgiveness of Jesus Christ is not something we deserve. We are not worthy of it. He doesn't love us because we're lovable. He doesn't value us because we're valuable. He does these things because of who he is. He loves us because he's the lover of all souls. So we don't deserve his forgiveness. We didn't earn it. We are not the ones that died on the cross. He did that for us. We don't deserve forgiveness. And so how does this relate to our relationships with other people who have hurt us? Other people don't deserve forgiveness either. And if we are called on to forgive another person, it's not to say to them that what they've done is right. If you have been raped, you are called on to forgive that person who raped you. It's not to say that what they did to you was right. Rape is not right. If you were sexually molested or abused as a child, you are called on to forgive that man or that woman that did that awful, horrendous thing to you. That's not to say to them that what you did to me is right. It's to say to them, I understand the forgiveness of Christ for my sin, and I am willing to extend that to you. That's what forgiveness says. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says that God in Christ Jesus forgives all sin. All sin. Whatever sin is the worst one you've ever done, Christ paid for that. There is no sin that when he hung on that cross for 3 hours and darkness fell upon him and God judged him for the penalty and the payment of our sin, there was no sin left uncovered. No sin left uncovered. He didn't do it for 2 hours and 59 minutes because then he might have left one out. It was 3 hours and it was finished. And then Jesus Christ said, it is finished. The payment for sin was done. He has forgiven all sin. What about something that has happened against you? There is no sin so great that you should not be willing to forgive because of what Christ has forgiven you. Matthew 18 and verse 21 teaches us that there is no limit to the number of times that we should forgive. And this is a tough one because sometimes people keep doing the same damn thing over and over and over, and it's like they just take the knife and they go wham, 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 and you're like, enough already. Woo! But Peter asked Jesus, how many times in a day do I need to forgive my brother? And Jesus answered and he said, 70 times 7. That's a big number for a fisherman. 70 times 7. I've never had someone hurt me 490 times in a day. But you know what I have done? I think maybe I've remembered a hurt that happened against me that many times in a day. So what happens, Ephesians 4 says that let all bitterness and all wrath be put out of your mind. And I think we as women, we are especially susceptible to having bitterness in our soul because of things that have happened to us. And that bitterness is like a very small seed that is planted in your mind and planted in your heart. And if you think on that little seed, you know what happens? It sprouts. It sprouts into a huge tree. And the longer you dwell on that and the longer you let that inhabit your heart and your thoughts and your mind, the harder that seed is to get out. But if we continually, if we have an unforgiving heart or a heart of hatred or bitterness to other people and we forgive that, we confess that sin of hardness or bitterness, God cleanses us of that sin and it's like chopping down the tree until finally God can root it out of our life. This is the way that Jesus Christ forgave us, and this is how we are called on to forgive others. In Hebrews 5:12, it says that God remembers our sin no more. That's good news. If you were to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ today, if he was to walk in here and you'd say to him, man, you know, I'm really sorry about that time that I kicked that dog or whatever, he'd go, what time? I don't remember that. Because he forgot. Our sins and our iniquities, he remembers no more. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says that he has removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. As far as the east is from the west. The east and the west never can't touch. They just keep running from each other. And that's how far God has removed our sins from us. So how does this principle work for us in relationships? If there is someone who has hurt us or abused us or done some kind of violence or crime against us, if we truly forgive, it is something that we don't need to keep bringing up over and over and over and over. It can be settled at the cross of Jesus Christ. forgiveness begins the healing process. To receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ and to extend it to those who have hurt us, that's the beginning of the healing process. When I was, let me start with this. My grandmother was born in 1876, the 100th anniversary of our country. And when she was born, someone gave to her at her birth a big glass platter. And it was a centennial platter celebrating the 100th birthday of America. When she died, it was passed on to my mother. And my husband and I had our firstborn child in 1976, the bicentennial of our nation's country, of our country. And when my son was born, my mother gave me that platter. Very precious, very valuable. And I had little kids in the house. So I wrapped it up in a quilt and I put it on a high shelf. And one night, in the middle of the night, it got very cold. We were living in Arkansas at the time, and a snowstorm was coming through, and we were cold. And I went into the bathroom, and I reached up on that high shelf, and I pulled out this quilt, forgetting what was inside. And when I pulled that quilt off the shelf, that platter hit the floor and shattered in a million pieces. There was no fix in that platter. But Isaiah chapter 61 talks about a broken heart. And it talks about a specific point of time when your heart can be shattered by things in this life. Shattered into a million pieces. There was no hope to ever put that platter back together. But there is hope for our hearts to be mended and for our hearts to be healed. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. Look at this picture back here. I love this picture. If they give it to me, I'd take it home. If they don't, I might have to steal it. Because this shows a broken heart, but that broken heart has come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for love and for healing. And that's what Mary of Bethany did. At the feet of Jesus, she found forgiveness. And this is my prayer for you. Heavenly Father, I just pray for these ladies here. I pray for every single one of us because we cannot escape this world without a broken and a shattered heart. Isaiah 61 says that you sent your son to bind up the brokenhearted and to set captives free. And Father, we all have sin and guilt and shame in our lives. We all have a past, and yet that past can be totally forgiven and blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Father, that we would come tonight to your feet, not only for salvation, but also, Father, for healing, the healing that can come through Jesus Christ and knowing him as our Savior and as our friend. And Father, I just pray again that if there is any woman, any soul in this room who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, does not have that assurance of eternal life, open her eyes to see and to believe who this man is and what he has done for her. And I just pray that she would have the humility and the desperation, Father, to possibly come forth and to speak to one of the team and to understand how she can believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life. We thank you and praise you, Father, for your Son and for his love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.